2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. And I'll read just one verse. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he has received from us. Before I begin, I want to just mention we've been going through Thessalonians, and we are coming to the last chapter today. We've been going through verse by verse, and today we come to the closing exhortations, which deals with a difficult subject, a subject that's not often spoken about, and it's the subject of separation. It's a subject of withdrawing, of standing apart. Well, I'm going to not skip it because it's the Word of God. We cannot just brush over it because we don't understand it or because it's a difficult word. So let's begin today with verse 6. Verse 6 begins with, We command you, brethren. And the command is to the brethren. It's not only a command to a select group. It's not a command only to the elders or the pastors. It's we command you, brethren. And it's to the whole body of believers. It's to everyone who calls themselves a Christian. And it's a responsibility of every believer to take heed and obey the commands of Christ. The topic, our subject today is follow God's word. Follow God's word. So our first heading is the authority of God's word. And the reason that we say that this is the apostle speaking God's word is because the apostle says, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. The command is not from Paul. The command is from the Lord himself. And the authority of Christ should awe our minds. The authority of Christ should be something that we desire to submit to and to be obedient to. And the grace and goodness of Christ should draw us to obey and to do. This is love for God, that you obey his commands. In our world today, everything is optional. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, it depends upon you. But the Word of God gives us no option. It's not a good suggestion. It's not good advice offered. It's a holy, divine command. And this is what the apostle is giving. He's giving a command, and it's a command that must be listened to because it's from God. It's not from man. And actually, the whole Bible is God's command to us, his children. So the apostle is very kindly addressing the congregation. He calls them brethren. Nevertheless, it is a clear command. And command is a military word. It's an order. And it's very important that orders are followed. If you've ever been in the military, if you disobey an order, it's a serious offense. You can be charged for that. And even if we don't understand the order, or even if we don't agree with the order, you have to obey the order. And it's the same with the scriptures. God gives his orders for our own good. And whether we understand them or agree with them, we, as God's children, are called to obey God's orders. So to sum it up, a command is not optional. It must be taken seriously and obeyed. And the reason is clear, because the command is from the Lord himself. And yeah, we see, of course, the scripture is full of commands, but yeah, we see a specific command. And the specific command is this, that you withdraw from every brother, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. Now, I'll start with the word tradition, because many times when we think of the word tradition, we just think of bad traditions, traditions that are passed on by cultures and traditions that we hear about in different parts of the world. But this is not talking about man's tradition. This has a clear meaning, and the clear meaning is this: the teaching that has been handed down by the apostles. So instead of reading the word tradition, in your mind, rather think of that which is given, the substance of teaching. So the substance of teaching that the Apostle Paul gave, he is the tradition that he handed on, the word that he handed on, the apostolic instruction that he's given how Christians should live and walk and behave themselves, and how we ought to order our lives. So this command that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition that you received from us. Let's look at the phrase walks, because we need to look at this carefully to get a full understanding what this scripture is saying, what this verse is saying. So the phrase who walks has the meaning that it's not to do something wrong just once. It's not that you just fall into iniquity once. It's a persistent pattern. It's a way of behavior. It's a determination to do a specific and a particular thing. And I'll give you some practical examples in a moment. But this kind of disorderly person who walks in this manner, the person that Paul is speaking about is a person that is persistent in his approach to doing something his way. And that he says, withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. Disorderly. Now, we look at the final word. What is meant by disorderly? It has a broad meaning. It's irregular, deviating from the prescribed rule. Deviating from the prescribed rule. So it's a military word again. They never hold their position. Anyone that's been in the military will be called to guard duty. And guard duty is something which you have to take very seriously. You are told to watch a certain area, and you have procedures. If somebody comes, you have to report, there's movement in my area. Well, let's just say somebody decides, I don't like the order that was given to me. I think it would be better to watch over here. Well, that's disobeying an order. That's disorderly. That's irregular. The commander thinks that he has posted somebody to watch, But that person decided to wander off and go somewhere else and just watch, however, in an area that he thought would be better. And he puts the whole unit in danger because the enemy can come and there's no one to warn. And so the picture is that the idea is this, the disorderly, they walk about just doing what they think is the best course of action. Or in our context as believers, a disorderly Christian is a Christian that does not conform to the blueprint of the Word of God. It says, no, this is 2025. I don't need to obey the Bible. I can just do as I think is most wise and most best, not conforming to what the Bible conduct or behavior is. No, that's old-fashioned. Times have changed. We don't have to adhere to those old Bible truths anymore. No. And then on top of that, these disorderly people, they don't want to know the Bible way. They prefer their own way. They choose their own way. They shun the Bible way. They push the Bible way aside. And they ignore that God has clearly spoken to us through the Bible. So the Apostle Paul is saying that if a person persistently won't follow the biblical pattern, won't listen to correction, but just keeps on doing whatever they think best, the apostle says, stand aside from them, withdraw from them. You can't pretend that nothing is wrong when they are constantly wandering from the Bible pattern. You can't ignore it. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul had to deal with people in Thessalonica, the disorderly conduct in Thessalonica. Well, there were some three different classes of people. I don't want to focus long upon them, but there were loafers who did nothing, freeloaders, people that didn't want to work. It wasn't that they couldn't get work, it was they didn't want to work. And they didn't want to work, that their excuse was, the Lord Jesus is coming back. Why get a job? The Lord Jesus is coming. We don't need to work. And so the Apostle Paul had dealt with these people, not once, not twice. He had written letters to them two times. He had spoken to them over and over about this, and they still wouldn't listen. And he said, withdraw from them. Withdraw from these people. And then there were other people that were spreading all matter of gossip. They were busybodies. They were spreading rumors. They were claiming that they had letters from the apostle. They were teaching unbiblical doctrines, spreading unbiblical doctrines. The apostle had to deal with this kind of disorderly people. The third one was the people who meddled in other people's affairs. They had nothing to do, and they became busybodies. They became meddlers. In verse 13, it says, to beware of such as learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and are not only idle, but tattlers, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to speak. So Paul is showing us and exhorting us and commanding us that from these disorderly people, withdraw. And then he provides an example. He provides I'm going to come to some practical examples in a moment, but I just want to lay the foundation. Paul provides and he says, follow my example. And really, this is a challenge to every believer, because it's a marvel that Paul didn't hesitate. Not even once did he hesitate to say, follow my example as I follow Christ. And today, you and I, we are so aware of our failings, we are almost afraid to tell people, follow my example. It's a serious question that is worth asking yourself. We should ask ourselves this question. Is my faith worth imitating? Is my Christianity worth following? Can I say to somebody that's a new convert, follow me, follow my example, I'm walking right? And the fact remains that the gospel can never truly be effective if the one preaching the gospel, the life that's presenting the gospel, if that person is not committed to the gospel. What do I mean? Those that hear the gospel from our lips, they must feel that they are listening to ones that are sincere, ones that adhere to what the Bible teaches. I remember a long time ago, there was a man that tried to witness to me. And I could smell alcohol on his breath, and he could barely stand up straight. And I thought to myself, I cannot listen to this man. He's a drunkard. I'm not going to hear him. He's not living what he's preaching. And if we want to have more effectiveness in our ministries, in our sharing, in our witnessing, we must make sure that we are doers of God's precious word. Those who hear the gospel from our lips must feel that they are listening to one whose life is in sincerity and adherence to the blueprint of God's holy word. They must see that they are doers of the word. Let's go to verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. So Paul is showing an example. He's setting a proper example. He's saying, we are not disorderly. Reject the disorderly. Withdraw from the disorderly. And he says in verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread. He paid for all that he ate. He labored in travail. He worked very hard. We know that Paul had two jobs in essence. Paul preached the gospel and Paul made tents. He had a double job. And yet, he never took from the people unnecessarily. So Paul is saying that he might not be a burden to them, that he might not take advantage of them. Paul was in Thessalonica, and we know that in Thessalonica, he did take an offering from the church in Philippi. Philippians 4:16. So Paul is not against preachers getting offerings. He's not against that. He sometimes was supported like that. But rather, Paul didn't want to add an additional burden upon the shoulders of these new Christians. He knew that they were experiencing persecution. He knew that many of them had lost their jobs and had no money, and now he was not trying to take their money. He's providing an example of a minister. How different from today, where we are told, bring your offering. If you don't have, give your... And they try to get from you as much as they can. But Paul was an example of great modesty, great carefulness, not to be a burden. He's saying that every one of us must work with our own hands and eat our own bread. He called it disorderly, those that were too lazy to work, those that pretended to be super spiritual. I don't have to work. Jesus is coming. You see, I'm so spiritual. I believe Jesus is coming. I don't need a job. No, he says very clearly in verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Neither shall he eat. And again, this is not just good advice that he's giving. This is a command. And a command is to be obeyed. If any man refuses to work, not if he can't work, if he can't find a job, yes, we have compassion on him. But if he refuses to work, let him go hungry. Perhaps this will teach him a lesson and he will look harder for a job. I know it sounds hard, but Paul wasn't a hard man. Paul spent time and energy gathering help for the needy saints. He took offerings for the needy saints. The apostles distributed help to those that were in need. He wasn't against the needy. He was against people being lazy. He was against people. This is the grace that every Christian should have. Those that are saved by grace should become unselfish, that they will loathe the idea of becoming an unnecessary burden to their brothers. So in a church, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to always be taking. And there's a danger now that we have focused on this one area that the Apostle Paul was facing, that we read over this passage and we say to ourselves, well, I don't see why that's so hard. I'm not a loafer. I'm not a gossiper. I'm not a busybody. So this scripture doesn't apply to me. I got off. This verse is not for me. These passages have nothing for me. But understand, this is only one example of many. There are many other principles of disorder that we need to turn away from. And the Apostle Paul says this. Let me give you one area that of people that we must turn away from. Mark a believer who causes division. A believer that causes division. Mark him who brings offenses contrary to doctrine. Keep an eye on those who stir up dissensions, those that stir up disagreements in the church, those that put hindrances in your way. Turn from them, says the apostle. Romans 16, verse 17. The verse speaks also of false teachers who cause people to miss the truth. Let me give you an example. For example, the Roman Catholic Church preaches a gospel that is no gospel. They teach the exact opposite of salvation. They teach salvation by works, but salvation is by grace. And what about liberal theology who deny the infallibility of Scripture? Oh, it's just a book like any other book. We don't need to listen to it. Or they deny the existence of hell and eternal punishment. It's another gospel. And the Apostle Paul, he says, we have to be careful of a gospel that is no gospel at all. It's dangerous to souls. And in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, the apostle says, even if an angel from heaven preach another gospel, let him be accursed, anathema, let him be cut off. You say, no, he couldn't have been so hard. How could have he? And he says it again in verse 9, just to reiterate it. He says, as I said before, if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. So we don't fraternize. We don't identify with false teachers. We don't agree with them. I know you would never do it, but supposing there was a Mormon church in Nanyuki, would you send an offering to them and say, I'm just sending you this to help you do your work? No, we do not support false teaching. We stand aside from it. We have nothing to do with it. The word that's used is we withdraw from it. So we don't want to be shown. We don't want to show that we are endorsing what they are preaching by endorsing their views. I don't endorse the views of the Pope. I need to stand clear. Let me give you another clear example of what we need to stand apart from. Today, everybody has a phone with internet, and you can search internet and find a multitude of preachers, and some of them have got large followings, even tens of thousands of followers. But just because they have tens of thousands of followers doesn't make them right. Why not? Well, mostly, no church would have them. So they appointed themselves and made a website and began to preach their version of the gospel on internet. And it's no gospel at all. And why would we follow that podcast when it is erroneous, when it's a self-appointed teacher? If that man was in a good church, he wouldn't even allow to be a deacon or an elder because he doesn't fulfill the gospel standard. They would say no. And yet he's on internet with hundreds of people listening to him. And also, he preaches and claims that he believes and does what the scripture says. But when you do a little search and you start to study and look at his testimony, you see, this man has no fruit in his life. He only says that he believes, but he acts just like the world. From such, withdraw. Don't listen to them. Don't give time to them. The apostle is saying that we should withdraw from the disorderly brother. And this almost goes against, in today's age, we want to be politically correct. Oh no, we don't want to withdraw from anybody, but I want to obey what the Bible says. God's command is not optional. His commands are to be obeyed. And God's command, just because it's a hard thing to obey God's command, it doesn't mean that we don't obey God's command. And the specific command of this passage needs to be obeyed. And the child of God that loves God wants to and desires to obey God's ways. I want to give you another biblical example. And it's a challenging example, but it's a biblical example. Let me give it to you. Honor the Lord's Day. Honor the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's day. It's not just the Lord's hour or two or three. It's the Lord's day. Some have a very relaxed view about the Lord's day. They think it's optional whether they keep the Lord's day or not. But it's a day to honor Him. And it's not simply a matter of coming to worship and for 1 hour you listen to the preaching and you close your Bible and it's over and you just do what you like the rest of the day. Rather, we love and we respect and we honor the Lord's day. It's not just an obligation. It's not just a duty. It's a sacred and a joyful privilege. A sacred and a joyful privilege, the Lord's Day. It's His gift to us. And what a true Christian, one who is truly walking with the Lord, it would be a deep sense of sorrow to that Christian to dishonor the Lord's Day and join with the worldly people and just treat that day as common and be disrespectful, to be careless, or to seek pleasure on that day, dishonoring the Lord. We honor the Lord's day, and we keep the Lord's day because we respect the command of God, the command of God who instituted the Lord's day. And the best way to honor the Lord's day is to attend all the church services. Oh, I only go to the evening service because I need to get my sleep in the morning. I only go to the morning service because in the evening I watch television. And no, one who loves the Lord and honors the Lord and is dedicated, it's a day of being dedicated to His honor. We honor the Lord because in this, the Lord takes great delight. The Lord takes great delight when He sees His children honoring the day He instituted. Let me give you a very helpful scripture that somebody gave me. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, that's the Lord's day, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I looked up what the preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said about this verse. And he simply said, God help us to be attentive to the precepts of this chapter, that the promises of this chapter may be blessedly fulfilled in our lives. Oh, what a blessing to honor the Sabbath day and to make it important and precious in our lives. Verse 6, the verse that we have been laboring, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. I want to give you another example. Friendship with the world is a very clear example. We must withdraw from love of the world. James teaches us that friendship with the world is being an enemy of God. Let me ask you straight forward. Do you ever go to a nightclub? Do you ever go to the disco? Do you ever go to the pub or the bar to drink alcohol? A Christian should never go to such a place. A Christian should withdraw from such a place. This is not godly behavior. In such places, there is wickedness and evil. And as a Christian, we must keep a distance from that. You know, there are people that do that. They go to the bar, they drink until they are full, and then they get into trouble. And do you know what they do when they get into trouble? They fall down on their knees and they pray to God, "Oh God, please have mercy on me. Help me, help me." Now, the scripture says this in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. God does hear prayer. He blesses the righteous, but the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Listen, you cannot fool God. God knows and God sees what we do in secret. And if we are an unrighteous person in secret, wicked in secret, we need to repent and we need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He longs for the stout-hearted to come unto him. You know those stubborn people that just do what they want to do? God longs for those stout-hearted people to come unto him, and he offers such grace to the wicked, and he brings near to them salvation and righteousness. Oh, forsake your wicked ways and receive the grace which is offered. Verse 13, as I begin drawing to a close, verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Be not weary in well-doing. Don't be misled. Don't let a few people that are being disorderly keep you from doing your duty. And this verse also infers that the Christian is never justified in becoming discouraged because of problems in the congregation. Oh, I'm discouraged because all of those people are hypocrites. I can't believe the Lord. No, the Lord has been faithful. Don't forsake your Christian duty because of what others have done. Christ has always been faithful unto us. Keep this truth in mind. We don't measure things by what people do. And then in verse 14, "If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed." That he may be ashamed. This is the purpose of withdrawing from them, that they may feel ashamed, that they would make to be realizing, that they would come to realize that their behavior has grieved the whole church, that everybody is saddened at what they are doing, how they are walking is not bringing a good testimony. And the reason they withdraw is to make that person examine themselves and hopefully come unto repentance. The hope is not to punish them. The hope is repentance and restoration. Spurgeon makes a comment that really spoke to me in a very clear way. He said, "When a church grows large, efficient discipline from one man or all of his officers with him, it's not possible. There must be discipline of the whole church towards itself." the whole church, every Christian, according to the measure of their grace, seeking the good of the whole. And when if I'm disorderly and I step out of line, I know that I've offended the whole church, all the brothers. I've been disorderly, and I desire, when they withdraw from me, I make sure that I repent and I come back to the Lord. If the whole church just accepts, oh, it's all right. Just overlook him. Just let him do it. That's his way. No, it's not the right way. The Bible way is the right way. And we must stand aside from them and hopefully and pray for them and encourage them. Verse 15, do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. He's not an enemy. He's still a brother. We encourage them as a brother or a sister, and we appeal to them. We reason with them. We say, honor the scriptures in your life. Be a doer of the word, not only a hearer. And we exhort them and say, make the scripture the final authority in your life. Stop this business now. And the time is up and we need to come to a close. And we're going to close with the verse 16, which is called the benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. Peace at all times. Peace in all ways. Peace in every circumstance, no matter what's happening in the fellowship. And what is the key? The key to peace is to honor Scripture, to honor God's holy word in our lives at all times, to keep Scripture, and we can have peace, unity, cooperation, and fellowship in the Lord's service. We keep the word of God. Let's pray together. Amen. Amen.